Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Georgia election interference case. I'm Michelle Franzen. Nathan Wade, the prosecutor and ex-boyfriend of Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis, has submitted his letter of resignation in the Georgia racketeering case involving Donald Trump and co-defendants. It comes hours after Judge Scott McAfee ruled either Willis or Wade needed to step down after determining Willis left a perception of a possible conflict of interest. In the letter, Wade writes he's resigning in the interest of democracy, and so the case can move forward quickly. ABC's Olivia Rubin is in Atlanta.
This is the route that is going to let them move forward with the prosecution of Donald Trump as quick as possible. You know, possibility of an appeal aside, efforts to appeal set aside, this means that the case will move forward, essentially effective immediately.
Trump's attorneys can still appeal, Willis commending Wade for his professionalism in a letter after she received his resignation. This is ABC News. A big settlement announced today that could change how much commission you pay your realtor next time you buy or sell a house.
Anyone familiar with real estate can tell you that a 6% commission for your agent is pretty much the norm, but it doesn't have to be. The National Association of Realtors was accused in a class action suit of conspiring to keep commissions at that rate. Now, thanks to a $418 million settlement in which the Realtors Association makes clear is not an admission of wrongdoing, those commissions will be easier to negotiate. Most experts think the settlement could eventually mean fewer real estate agents in the future.
ABC Sherry Preston. Target is launching a new self-checkout policy, restricting shoppers to 10 items or less. Express checkout lanes will debut at nearly 2,000 Target locations this Sunday, with the goal of speeding things up. Target also opening more traditional checkouts where cashiers can ring up customers with larger orders. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the March Spring Sale, March 15th through the 25th, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And, of course, get 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Neupert. The state Supreme Court has issued a ruling with implications for religious organizations. Bob Haig has an update.
In a 4-3 decision released Thursday, the court's liberal majority ruled that the Catholic Charities Bureau is not exempt from paying into the state's unemployment insurance system because its operations are not primarily religious. The justices found that Catholic Charities meet only one of the requirements to be exempt from the system. The court said Catholic Charities hadn't shown how paying unemployment taxes would prevent it from fulfilling a religious function or engaging in any religious activities. An attorney for Superior-based Catholic Charities Bureau said it plans to appeal the ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court.
While the search for a missing Two Rivers toddler continues, the adults arrested in connection with the disappearance of Elijah Vu were in court this week. We get an update from Stephen Devine in Manitowoc.
31-year-old Katrina Bauer waived her right to a preliminary hearing yesterday during her court date at the Manitowoc County Courthouse. 39-year-old Jesse Vang, who was the last person to see Elijah before he went missing, had his court hearings delayed again because he isn't represented by a lawyer. Elijah has now been missing for almost a month after being reported missing on February 20th. A vigil is going to be held this weekend for the missing 3-year-old.
The Crandon School District will be shut down today while health officials try to figure out what exactly sent several students and staff to the hospital on Thursday. A mystery ailment overcame those people. Even several EMS members who came to rescue people got ill. The Oneida County Hazmat Team will be on the scene today to try to track down what's causing the illness. 7th Congressional District Republican Tom Tiffany was among those voting for a bill this week that would require the social media app TikTok to be sold or banned in the U.S. that was pushed forward by Republican Mike Gallagher. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Pepin County Health Department provides confidential reproductive health and family planning services here in Durand. Services include birth control methods and supplies, routine preventative exams, cervical cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, emergency contraception, and pregnancy testing. All are available at low or no cost to you. Whatever your situation, the Pepin County Health Department is here to help you. Call or text 715-279-3241 for more information or to set up an appointment.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. One more calm and sunny spring-like day today as high temperatures soar to the mid-50s. By tomorrow, we'll be battling a breezy wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Under partly sunny skies, this will take our highs of the low 50s and make them feel more like the 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 52.
Day brought to you by our friends at Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on our program here today, we will talk markets in just a moment with Christy Van On Sheeseth with Van On and Company. In segment two, we're going to get an update on the South American crop conditions. Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisors is going to join us for a conversation. Then after the bottom of the hour in segment three, I want to turn the discussion to mental health in rural America and physical fitness in rural America. A few things that we need to think about there. We're going to have a conversation and learn more about the story of Amanda Nigg. She is known as the Farm Fit Mama. She has started Farm Fit training here back during the pandemic. And we're going to talk to her about physical fitness on the farm and mental health issues in rural America. That's coming up here after the bottom of the hour today. And then at the end of the show, I'll have a look at news headlines. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has said he doesn't see a new farm bill unless there's some compromises made on funding, et cetera. So we're talking about that story and more coming up here on today's AOA. Again, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Learn more at Cenex.com. Let's talk markets and see how things are looking right now in this trade as we are technically at the middle of the month of March. Christy Van On Sheeseth with Van On & Company joins us here on the show. Christy, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's take a look at the grain trade first. Kind of a mixed bag on Friday. I know in the case of this soy complex, we went up and hit some new highs and then quickly fell off that. I have to think that maybe that quick move we saw Thursday triggered some farmer selling or some sell stops in that market. So soy complex is kind of weak here to round out the week, but quarter wheat are fairly quiet. I guess, what's your 1,000-foot view of this grain trade right now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on with the bean complex right now. Obviously, at one point, we pushed like 20 higher yesterday and failed off of it, and that's not what we want to see. There's just a lot of resistance points here. Anytime you can get above $12 for that front contract, I think you're going to meet some selling. I think farmers are also looking at the calendar and saying, man, how are we already the middle of March? I need to get some of this grain gone, generate some cash flow. And then, you know, before you know it, I think everyone's prepping for planting with just how dry and open it has been. I think that you're going to really see these guys get excited and get ready to plant. So I think farmer selling was one of them. I really hope that we don't come in here and see that managed money has lifted a ton of contracts and we didn't get a ton from it. We'll know after the close today, but it's just from last Tuesday to Tuesday on managed money. They are record short holdings as of the last report for soybeans. So that's something to look at. But it's kind of like a roller coaster right now when you look at the bean market, just because of the conditions in South America. We know that Brazil is going to have a crop that's a little bit less than what they were initially expecting, but we also know it's still a decent sized crop and we've lost a lot of demand. But you're starting to get some attention about Argentina, and I think that's bringing out some people that want to buy into the wet story that's there. But I think we really need to root down and remember that wet stories really have problems sustaining themselves. They really are usually good for some quick pops, but to really build off of it, usually you struggle to do so. So is selling pressure showing up once again? I also think when you look at it, corn feels like it wants to go. Corn feels like, you know, when I say that, I don't want to seem too bullish because I'm not, but it seems like it wants to go. But, you know, wheat has been just a thorn in its side. Wheat can take like 4 or 5 days having some good strings together to put up a good rally. Then it feels like 1-2 days, it takes it all away. And then we're back to square one. So it just seems like corn can't find a friend right now. And if you could, I feel like it'd be a much different situation.
Yeah, it just feels like a lot of interesting dynamics here, especially as we mark time. I kind of almost feel like this grain market is already just waiting until the end of the month, prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks reports, Christy.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, you got that initial kind of attention here and then we've kind of fizzled out and, you know, how quiet it's been. I would imagine that the next week and a half is even quieter, right? Coming into that big report on the 28th. You know, we have to remember that that crop report on the 28th, most people want to talk about planting, right? Everyone talks about planting. That is the attention grabber of the market. But quarterly grain stocks are so important, especially in big carryout years. We need to have these quarterly stocks be telling us that we are using this grain effectively and probably better than what USDA is currently plugged in. We need to see that. And if there is a surprise out of that report, it usually comes from quarterly grain stocks. So that's going to be a big day. Not only that, end of the quarter, and you're coming into a three-day weekend with the holiday weekend trade. That next day is going to be off for the markets due to Good Friday. So there's a lot of moving and shaking that's going to happen out of this report. And just a lot of attention. So for people to kind of step away and let things pass, it wouldn't surprise me if you see quiet trade until then.
Well, Christy, should farmers really be taking a hard look at their marketing plan ahead of that report and trying to figure things out too, especially as they're getting ready for spring planting here in many parts of the country?
Yeah, absolutely. To have a game plan coming into this report, we know that a lot of times these rallies have been short-lived lately, that they've really gave us that pop. So having those working orders at some targets, I think, is so key. One level we're really targeting on May is coming into this 454 area. That's one area we're looking at. We did move on some new crop corn marketing here earlier in the week. One of the big plays in moving on this marketing is just we're fearful what happens if you get a big acre number out of the end of the month. We are sustaining a 20-cent rally off of the lows. We've already done some marketing, 30% of marketing above $5 already at this point. So we wanted to make sure we were doing something. We did a long put short call to give us some flexibility, but we did go after D's 24 marketing. We also came in here yesterday when beans were up 20 and we didn't move on marketing, but we kind of said, hey guys, if you aren't there, take this as an opportunity to see above $12 again. We haven't seen above $12 since the end of January for NOVE 24 beans. So if we can get back up there, we're going to be probably looking at something just to make sure this end of the month report is a big deal and it sets the tone. And there's been a lot of chatter about how dry the U.S. is. The drought monitor has confirmed that that drought is expanding, especially in Iowa. You have a lot of guys talking there right now, eastern Iowa, about how dry it is. And this isn't just them being dry. This is like their third year being dry in a row. And so you're starting to get that attention. But we have to remember that a dry story is going to be, in my opinion, more hurtful in the beginning before it gets its center stage. We continue to be dry, we're going to have a very aggressive planting pace, and that's going to be hard to bring buyers into this market. It eventually will pull its center stage. It will be the talk, But, you know, to get to that point, it's probably going to be more detrimental before it is positive.
Christy, 30 seconds on livestock. Any notes for us over there?
Yeah, the big thing to look at livestock right now, fundamentally still friendly, cash trade still friendly. But, you know, charts or technicals are taking control right now. April live cattle closed a gap that we had from back in October. And as soon as that gap closed, you flush this market. So we have to remember sometimes things are out of our control, even if they seem very, very friendly. Sometimes things are out of our control. So just make sure you're looking at some marketing here if you have those cattle, especially the ones that you're going to sell here sooner rather than later.
Folks can learn more at vanonco.com. Christy Van On Sheseth with Van On & Company. Thanks for joining us on AOA, Christy. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, we'll get a look at the South American crop. We'll talk with Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor next on AOA.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
On the March episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we learn about the newly launched Radical Challenge and the need for finding new uses for corn with Dr. Alex Buck, Director of Industrial Innovation at Iowa Corn, and Chad Empler, NCGA's Market Development Action Team Vice Chair.
The Radical Challenge is an open innovation challenge. It sets out to invest a minimum of $1.5 million checkoff dollars into startup and growth companies from around the world so that we can drive new uses for corn and develop long-term sustainable demand for corn production.
Well, what we have here domestically, corn is grown in about 100 million acres. And so 48% of the corn production is used for animal feed, 30% biofuels, 22% exports. But we still have this mass surplus that we need to find a use for. We are looking for people that have these ideas and want to put it to use and use these bushels of corn.
Learn more online at radical.vc and join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to OL.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Find your nearest Cenex location or go online for more information, cenex.com. Well, joining us now, let's get some updates on how the South American crop is looking and some of the market impacts. Joining us now, Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybeans and Corn Advisor. And Dr. Cordonier, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for the time and joining us here on AOA today. I hope you're doing well.
Sure, it's always my pleasure.
Well, let's get an update here on what's happening with this South American crop. I know some of the different estimates have been going lower. CONAB lowered their estimates here this week on the Brazil corded soy production. USDA has only come down slightly. What's the latest you're seeing in terms of some of these outlooks here for production in Brazil and Argentina right now?
Okay, well, CONAB came out yesterday, and you're right. They lowered the soybean estimate at 2.5 million tons. To 146.8. And for corn, they lowered it 0.9 million tons to 112.7. So they made a significant cut, especially in the soybeans. Now, the soybeans are about 55% harvested as of late last week. The harvest pace has slowed down a little bit because they're moving into the later developing soybeans, and also it's been kind of wet in the northern part of the country. Now, I left my soybean estimate unchanged this week at 145. And you're right, USDA only dropped it 1 million down to 155, so they are much, much higher than many other estimates. Now, there's people a lot lower than me in Brazil. The lowest I've heard is down in the low 130s. So the CONAB, they did actually found a few more soybean acres. I think they found 82,000 more acres of soybeans, or hectares, I should say. So the area went up a little bit, but the yield is very disappointing. The hot, dry weather, October, November, really did a number on the early maturing soybeans, and they just didn't have a chance to recover. And every state, without exception in Brazil, is reporting disappointing yields. They're down 10, 15, 20%, kind of depending on location and how much rainfall they got over the year. So very disappointing for the soybean crop. Now, for the corn, the Safrinha corn is 93% planted. So they're just finishing it up. And this week will be the last week they plant any Safrinha corn. It's beginning too late. And the concern now is there is a heat dome developing over south-central Brazil. And the area to watch is southern Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, São Paulo. And that area right now had been getting dry for like 3 weeks. And now it's hot and dry again. And the concern is that this Safrinha corn that is in vegetative development is going to get really stunted and have moisture stress and have very low yields. Now, I got the Brazil corn crop at 112 million tons. USDA has 124 million, so they're much higher than anybody else. And the concern is if this heat dome persists, and you know, if this might be the signal to the end of the summer rainy season. Normally in central Brazil, you get your last rain maybe the first couple days of May. But meteorologists have been predicting for the last couple of months with an El Nino, you could have an early end to the rainy season. And now we're middle of March, and if this hot and dry spell persists for a week or two, we'll be into April. Then after that, there's not much chance of significant rain coming after that. So I don't know. Maybe this is the premature end to the rainy season, and that would be the case. That'd be bad news for the Safrinha corn.
Well, I've heard, much like farmers in the U.S., I've heard that plenty of farmers in South America are kind of undersold in terms of their marketing right now. So I have to wonder, is that maybe due to some of that disappointment with what we're seeing for yields on some of that acreage and things like that? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brazilian farmers have sold 33% of their soybeans. Normally, it's 48% at this time of the year for average. So prices are very low, and yields are disappointing. So they're very reluctant to sell both corn and soybeans. So they're holding tight, and they're waiting for a better price. Now, in years past, it was a benefit for them to wait to see what happens in the United States and wait for a weather concern to develop, you know, in May, June, or July, and then to offload a lot of their soybeans. So right now, they're only selling the minimum possible. And there is a financial stress going on in Brazil. Some of the farmers with the lowest yields, they say they cannot fulfill their forward contracts with the grain companies. And also, with these low prices and low yields, they can't pay back their loans. So there's some bankruptcies going on, and some of the state governments are declaring states of emergency. Now, that's to help the farmers in the renegotiation with the banks for the production loans and with the grain companies. So after, you know, 2-3 years of really good prices and really good production, this is a very down year for a lot of guys in central Brazil.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up as well. I've also seen some of those same headlines about some of those challenges financially for some farmers in Brazil. Thinking about Argentina as well here a little bit more, too. They've fared pretty good with weather after the last few years of drought issues. Are there any big differences in Argentina right now?
Yeah, Argentina is sort of cruising along steady state. The corn is 2% harvested as of late last week. Yields are good to start. And there might be a few fields of soybeans harvested this week in Argentina. Now, they're getting a lot of rain as we speak in sort of the east central area. So Argentina is doing okay. In fact, I left my estimates unchanged. I have a neutral bias in Argentina. And if the weather cooperates, I might actually raise my estimate a little bit. 1 or 2 million tons for both crops. Now, the USDA is about where everybody else is for Argentina. You know, USDA has a soybean crop at 50 million tons. I have it at 50 million. And for corn, they have it at 55 million. I'm 54 million. So we're kind of right in line in Argentina. And you're right. Argentina, this is a big recuperation from last year. The soybean production will be double last year's production. And the corn production will be up like 20 million tons from last year. Last year was terrible. They had the worst drought in like 60 years. So this year is much, much better in Argentina. And I think they'll probably finish up with an okay crop, you know, unless something really turns awkward here at the end of the season.
I should ask, too, thinking about some of the farmers selling and holding back a little bit here in South America, in terms of we've seen a lot of sales to China, of course, from South America here as of late. But could that maybe cause China to come back to the U.S. here potentially if South American farmers aren't willing to, you know, let go of some bushels here? I mean, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course. Yes. So right now in Brazil, you know, they're selling enough to keep, you know, the export markets, you know, humming along. But we'll see how far that goes. And in Argentina, actually, the farmers are selling last year's leftover corn at a pretty good clip. And it might be a record amount of corn exports out of Argentina, mostly going to China, for the first couple of months of the year. And see, the farmers in Argentina, they were holding. Because the grain was their hedge against inflation, which is over 200%. So they're holding on to the grain, but now they're pretty assured of a good crop. So now they're selling their old crop before it goes out of condition. So actually they're selling a little bit more than was anticipated, especially for the corn that was holding over in Argentina. So now with a good crop coming on, they're willing to let go some of that old corn.
Well, before we let you go here, Dr. Cordoniere, great thoughts as always. Kind of the next, we'll say, 2 to 3 weeks, anything final you want to reiterate to folks that we need to pay attention to in terms of what's going on in South America right now?
Well, two things. First of all, see if the USDA finally adjusts downward their estimates for Brazil. We'll see when that happens. And second of all, you know, that Safrinha corn crop. That's over 75% of all Brazil's corn. And last year, Brazil exported more corn than the United States. So if the current Safrinha corn crop turns out to be very disappointing, their corn exports are going to go way down compared to last year. So the United States could probably resume the number one position in corn exports and, you know, replace Brazil, which took it over for 1 year. So this weather for the next couple of weeks is really going to determine the corn crop in Brazil.
All right. Well, we do appreciate the time. Folks can learn more, soybeansandcorn.com. With that, Dr. Michael Cordoniere with Soybean and Corn Advisor. Thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime. My pleasure.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases and Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're going to have a conversation with Farm Fit Mama Amanda Nigg. That's next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of...
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. April milk down 19 to 1606. May down 30 to 1646. June down 26 to 1730. July milk down 25 at 1790. Live and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher on the day as the strength in some of the cash markets helping to support the live cattle markets. Feeder cattle were higher due to the strength in the live cattle trade and also in the cash market. Hog markets, meanwhile, they were mostly higher as well as the markets decided to move higher as midday cash prices and pork cutouts were higher. April live cattle up 30 cents to 187.25. March feeder cattle up $1.80 to 249.27. April hogs up $1.90 to 86.92. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were mostly higher on the day. 128,000 metric tons of corn sold overseas supporting the markets. Soybeans mostly higher as soybean oil moved higher, and that helped it to strengthen soybean prices. Wheat markets were mostly lower due to continued long liquidation and also strength in the dollar. New crop corn up 3 to 470 and 3 quarters. New crop beans up 3 and 3 quarters to 1190 and 3 quarters. May wheat down 3 and 3 quarters to 528 and a half.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Become a preferred customer of Adams Super Service of Durand and receive $30 off your sixth oil change when you get five. Every oil change at Adams Super Service includes up to 5 quarts of oil, filter, lube, and the ASC certified technicians will do a complete safety check of your vehicle. Adams Super Service has U.S. made tires from Vanderbilt and Mastercraft and features the Hunter Alignment System, the most advanced system to keep your vehicle going straight. Adams Super Service, your Napa Auto Care Gold Center in downtown Durand. Visit them online at adamssuperservice.com.
One.org. Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more online at Cenex.com. Well, want to have an important conversation about mental health in rural America and physical fitness on the farm. And here to help us have that conversation and share her story, she is the Farm Fit Mama. Amanda Nigg with Farm Fit Training joins us now on AOA. Amanda, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
Well, just for starters, tell us a little bit about FarmFit Mama. Tell us about your story. I think that's going to help us kind of set up our conversation here today. So can you give us a little background?
How much time do you have? Because I talk a lot. So I mean, you might need to slim that question down into a little more direct. But no, FarmFit training actually started in 2021, February of 2021. And how it got started is more my story and my battle with mental health. So in 2020, the day before the national pandemic, we're talking March 19th, 2020, we lost our forever home of just 4 years to a house fire. And I mean, we lost everything. Like the whole, there was nothing that was salvageable. And so when COVID started in, or when we went into that 2 week lockdown, I was really struggling mentally. For us, how it came about was I started posting. My space has always been fitness. I grew up very in an athletic family, and I've always done sports. And my husband knew that fitness was kind of my stress management, I want to say, like where I could release and really tap into what I was doing personally. And so in 2020, I started sharing my journey online of workouts. You know, my gym was actually in our home. And so when we lost everything, you couldn't get gym equipment first and foremost in 2020. And so he would bring me these random pieces of equipment from our junkyard, or our junk pile, I should say. And it was like these old beat up tires, this like old metal, I don't even know, they belonged at some point on a tractor, somewhere on a tractor. And I was using these for weights. And so a lot of people were asking me, like, what are you doing? Like, what program are you doing? Like, I don't understand how you're getting these random pieces of equipment that you're using. And so I started sharing my journey through 2020 online and did a couple really cool challenges. Like, at the time, I wasn't certified. So I put together like in March or May, it was May of 2020. I'll never forget this. I put together this planking challenge because my associate degree in college was health promotion. So I understood it. You know, I've always been drawn to the health field. And I put this planking challenge together thinking, you know what, let's give everybody a space to work on their physical health. And what I didn't expect is I had 800 plus farmers across the world, not just the United States, participating in this plank challenge. And it really opened up my eyes between the physical and mental gap that we have in agriculture. And so I did a couple more challenges that year. And then I decided to go and take a business course on how to run a program online because we were 100% online, and turn around and open doors to FarmFit training in February 5th of 2021. How I got to FarmFit training was more of me struggling with my own mental health journey and using fitness to tap into that and continue to show up for my family when we were going through by far one of my lowest points in my life.
It's a really an inspiring story, Amanda, and thanks for some background here on how you got started with things. And just thinking too, looking at the broader state of rural mental health and physical health, et cetera, and obviously through, you know, FarmFit training and your program helping farmers and ranchers. I mean, you know, being physically healthy is just one part of that process that can help out on the farm and ranch, doesn't it, Amanda?
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing too, is like with agriculture, it's advancing so much in technology. And that's the beautiful part about our industries. We technology wise are incredibly advancing when it comes to our practices, our procedures, how we run our equipment. I mean, now they just came out with a self-driving tractor, which we don't have. I'm just going to make that clear. I mean, it would be super cool to have, but we do have GPS. So there's a lot of things that are advancing and replacing that manual labor side of things when in agriculture. And that's really the key thing here is like we forget, like, yes, we're advancing technologies and that's great. But what we're not advancing on is the health side of things. And that can be physical or mental health. And that kind of has taken that back burner or like a stalemate type approach, because there's a lot that needs to be addressed or needs to be looked upon when it comes to that. And that's really where FarmFit training, I wanted it to be any totally different from anything out there. I mean, there's so many fitness programs out there. And with FarmFit training, I really wanted it to be a space where you can get into a sustainable system and a community. You know, tribe is a huge aspect. We always talk about that, where you can grow and prosper and really show up for yourself so that you can be that hands-on person on the farm. You can walk across the farmyard and not be out of breath. You know, you're working on yourself physically, which, as we know, correlates to mental health as well, because that interconnection between the two shouldn't be looked at as separately. And so when I was designing and creating FarmFit training, I really wanted it to be different from anything out there. And it's 100% tailored to the agriculture industry because we live it. I mean, I live on a fifth generation farm here in South Dakota. So I definitely understand the demands and how we are the world's biggest gamblers when it comes to weather, crop prices, you know, you name it. We gamble on everything. And there's a lot of stress in that. But at the end of the day, you ask any farmer or anybody in the ag space, the first thing we will say is we'll never want to be in any other industry. So we take great pride in that as well. But a lot, like I said earlier, is like that mental health side of things has really kind of taken a back burner. And, you know, for me, when I was going through my struggles in 2020, I'll be the first to tell you, I wasn't going to pick up the phone and call a 1-800 number and talk to a random stranger. You know, again, mental health, it isn't a one size fits all approach. You know, maybe that works for somebody, but for someone like me, that didn't work for me. And what really worked for me was being able to do a 15 to 25 minute workout and then get on with my day. Cause I'm a busy mom. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mom. I help my husband in the field quite along. I always joke around because I quickly realized I didn't grow up in agriculture. I'm like the wheel turner. Like, you can put me in any piece of equipment and I can drive it. But when things break down, I'm out. I'm not your guy. Sure. Like, I mean, I'll help you lift parts. Like, my husband will randomly text me and be like, hey, I need your muscles. I'm like, okay, I'll come over and help you. But as far as like when it breaks down, I'm like, nope, I'm out. Like, this is your thing, Batman. I can't help you here.
Well, and to your point that you raised, you know, I think about our farmers and ranchers and folks throughout agriculture, and whether it's, you know, planting season, harvest time, calving season, et cetera. I mean, there are a lot of times where things can get very stressful on the operation, and, you know, thinking about the broader mental health crisis situation we have in rural America, there's a lot of times, like you said, a lot of folks in agriculture don't necessarily want to take the time to pick up the phone and dial a 1-800 number to talk to someone. They just kind of hold it all down, so to speak, inside in many instances. And I know the work you're doing, trying to change that a little bit, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing too, is in agriculture, we kind of have the old school thinking, and it's not a bad thing. It's just we're stubborn individuals because we face a lot of challenges in our industry that other industries don't face. You know, the really driving force of why I launched FarmFit Training was, first off, I saw a huge change in myself, but when I started those free challenges, for example, just our community needed something and needed an outlet that was different from what was available. And what I've noticed is, like, a lot of times, you know, when you keep those emotions inside you and keep them buried in, it starts to affect those around you. And a lot of times we forget that we are our longest commitment. And, you know, we invest so much into our practices, our operation. You know, gosh, we have insurance for our crop. We have insurance for our grain bins. I mean, you name it. But we always forget about ourselves. You know, we forget that we are our longest commitment. And if we don't dive in to addressing ourselves or stress management, or if we don't dive into something that's going to make us the best version of our lives, like a better version of our lives, it's going to affect those relationships around you, even if you like it or not. I mean, you might be a snappy parent. Trust me, I've been there. I was that parent that was snappy. You know, you might, it might affect your relationships, you know, with dealing with, you know, seed dealers or whatever it is. You know, we're businesses. At the end of the day, we're running a massive business. You know, a farming operation is a business. And so when you take care of yourself, you're able to get that beautiful thing called a confidence. And I always like to talk about it because a lot of people view confidence as something being negative or cocky. And it's not. It's when you're confident in yourself and what you bring to the table, it actually shows that you care about yourself and where you're going, and you're leading by example. Look at your own mental health. Look at your own physical health. You know, you don't want to be that person that is told to work on your physical health because of medical reasons. You know, you have the opportunity to take charge of it now, and now's the time. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be a very simple process, but you just have to start. And that's the biggest thing with our industry, is like back to that old school thinking. Sometimes we feel that if we start something that we're going to fail, or it's not going to fit into what we got going on. And I promise you, we've debunked that and figured out a system. You know, I've been blessed to able to work with over 2,000 plus farmers, and not just farmers, people in agriculture. And when I say in agriculture, we're talking, you know, the people that work at John Deere or Case IH, you know, other industries that are also tied to agriculture, because we're really a big industry if you really think about it. And you're not just focusing on the farmer or farm wife, you know, we impact so many industries, because we are, like I said, we're the backbones of the world. Without us, like, the world wouldn't exist, plain and simple.
We'll learn more online, farmfitmama.com. Amanda Nagg with FarmFit Training. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. We'll take a look at news headlines right after this.
Sneezing, coughing, stuffy nose, runny nose, post-nasal drip, interrupted sleeping. I was groggy at the end of the day.
Allergies and sinus congestion were making Jana miserable. Then a friend recommended Navage. Navage provides immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Navage helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
Navage gave me instant relief. I didn't have to wait 30 minutes. I didn't have to wait an hour, 90 minutes. I didn't have to wait a minute. I ran the rinse and I felt better.
Stop suffering from congestion and start breathing and feeling your best again with Navage. Navage.
I've had people ask me how I find relief, and I tell them Navage immediately. This thing is amazing.
Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid.
Boot Barn is committed to supporting those who uphold the Western way of life. Denim plays a major role as a robust material that holds strong in a rugged environment. Since 1947, the Wrangler Authentic Western Jeans have brought long-lasting denim to all who embrace the cowboy lifestyle. Boot Barn is proud to support this bold legacy, one that's just as iconic now as it was then. Wrangler at Boot Barn.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente.
And you get unlimited 5G data? $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan? At an amazing price with no contracts. Should you switch to Total by Verizon? Definitely.
Totalmente.
Find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate without a pay, plus taxes and fees. Discount begins the month after you enroll. Additional terms apply. See website for data management practices.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
On the March episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we learn about the newly launched Radical Challenge and the need for finding new uses for corn with Dr. Alex Buck, Director of Industrial Innovation at Iowa Corn, and Chad Empler, NCGA's Market Development Action Team Vice Chair.
The Radical Challenge is an open innovation challenge. It sets out to invest a minimum of $1.5 million checkoff dollars into startup and growth companies from around the world so that we can drive new uses for corn and develop develop long-term sustainable demand for corn production?
Well, what we have here domestically, corn is grown in about 100 million acres. And so 48% of the corn production is used for animal feed, 30% biofuels, 22% exports. But we still have this mass surplus that we need to find a use for. We are looking for people that have these ideas and want to put it to use and use these bushels of corn.
Learn more online at radical.vc and join us the first Wednesday of every month for the monthly grind on AOA. Joining us now, Kelly Garrett with Extreme Ag, as we talk about his partnership with the Truterra Carbon Program. Kelly, tell us a little bit about your operation and how you got involved in carbon programs.
Well, I guess I have the notoriety of being the first farmer to sell my carbon credits into the open market system. That first sale was to Shopify on December 1st of 2020. I then became involved in Truterra with their original Microsoft contract, which was in the spring and summer of 2021, and been great to work with these folks, and I'm still here today. The folks at Truterra, being a Land O'Lakes company, being a century-old cooperative, tried and true Land O'Lakes, I just can't think of many more secure, credible names in the agricultural industry. So that immediately appealed to me, and it turned out to be correct. And that's the reason I'm still here today, very farmer-friendly.
Hear the rest of Kelly's story on the American Ag Today podcast and learn more about Truterra online at truterraag.com.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at cenex.com. Well, let's take a look at some news headlines in agriculture before we wrap up our program here today. Well, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says there won't be a new farm bill until there's flexibility in ways to fund one and the political will to do it. Vilsack told the National Farmers Union recently that lawmakers need to look outside the farm bill for farm safety net funds to avoid hurting popular conservation and nutrition programs.
It becomes a bit difficult to see the pathway to a farm bill unless folks basically say, how do we use all of the tools, not just the farm bill, how do we use all the tools?
Including the politically controversial Commodity Credit Corporation, or CCC.
The CCC is a resource that's available, and every year, virtually every year, there's money left over in that CCC fund.
But some in the GOP charge Vilsack and even the Trump administration used CCC as a slush fund for pet projects. Still, Vilsack says the fund, Inflation Reduction Act, conservation dollars, current SNAP and WIC funding, in concert with a farm bill, may be the only answer.
I think the attitude, you know, is that until we see that kind of flexibility, it's going to be difficult and there's going to be a standstill. And then some people think, well, an extension of the existing farm bill is better than a bad bill.
Now, Politico quoted Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow as saying that at a recent White House event, but Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says Stabenow told him her comments were taken out of context. Stabenow's quote, though, on limiting anti-hunger programs in a new farm bill was, quote, "I'm not going to do it, so if that means we continue the policies of the 2018 farm bill, then that's okay," end quote. Well, the Justice Department's Antitrust Division and Federal Trade Commission have submitted a comment to the U.S. Copyright Office to advocate for regulations that would facilitate consumers and businesses' right to repair their own products. The Justice Department and FTC submitted the comment as the Copyright Office considers whether to recommend that the Librarian of Congress renew and expand temporary exemptions to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's prohibition against the circumvention of technology protection measures that control access to copyrighted content.
in their comment. The Justice Department and FTC said that renewing and expanding repair-related exemptions would promote competition in markets for replacement parts, repair, and maintenance services, as well as facilitate competition in markets for repairable products. Now, promoting competition in repair markets benefits consumers and businesses by making it easier and cheaper to fix things they own. Expanding repair exemptions can also remove barriers that limit the ability of independent service providers, including small businesses and entrepreneurs, to provide repair services. Now, in their joint comment, the Justice Department and FTC expressed support for renewing, expanding, and adding some specific DMCA exemptions. The agency support renewing the current exemption related to computer programs that control devices designed primarily for use by consumers for diagnosis, maintenance, or repair of the device, and expanding it to include commercial and industrial equipment. That is according to a news release from the U.S. Department of Justice. So continuing to watch some of the back and forth in regards to right to repair. In other news headlines, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on Monday announced a new website monitoring program where USDA will hire specialists to evaluate whether seed companies are meeting standards under the Federal Seed Act. Speaking at the National Farmers Union annual meeting, Vilsack said the specialists will also review packaging, pamphlets, PDFs, and other marketing materials. Now, building on a competition report in USDA's Farmer Seed Liaison Initiative announced last year, Vilsack said he hopes to hold people accountable while also making germplasm more readily available to researchers, providing more potential for small seed companies and creating more competition for farmers. Vilsack said he wants to make sure farmers are well educated as they're purchasing seed and understand whether or not the same traits available in brand name seeds can also be found in generic seeds. Vilsack said, quote, "There's a lot of information that's available on the web, and there's a tendency on the part of all of us to say, well, I read it on the internet, so it's kind of got to be true, right? Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't," end quote. Well, approximately 150 John Deere Des Moines Works employees will be laid off in the coming months, a spokesperson for the company confirmed with a Des Moines television station on Monday. John Deere leadership told its workforce at the Ankeny-based factory that 150 production employees will be placed on indefinite layoff effective over the months of April and May on Friday, March 8th. Now, currently, 1,700 total employees work at the Ankeny site, with 1,136 of them performing production and maintenance jobs. So layoffs at John Deere's Des Moines Works plant based in Ankeny. A new analysis of profits in the biodiesel industry underscores the volatility and tough times the industry is facing as it competes with renewable diesel for the biofuel market. Biodiesel production finances have whipsawed between losses and profits since 2021, with plants losing 59 cents per gallon during the early period of the renewable diesel, but then recovering to 41 cents, according to analysis by Scott Irwin of the University of Illinois. Since 2023, biodiesel production has been losing about 19 cents a gallon, he found. He says, quote, "Bottom line, if the losses in 2024 to date continue, more biodiesel plant shutdowns may be in the offing," end quote. Now, both biodiesel and renewable diesel plants have been struggling due to where EPA set the usage targets in 2023, according to Irwin and other industry officials. Chevron recently announced plans to close a pair of biodiesel plants in Iowa and Wisconsin. And finally, here on AOA Today, here's one for you. The Florida legislature wrapped up their session last Friday, but before they did, a bill banning lab-grown meat received final approval and will head to the governor for signing. An 86-27 vote in the Florida House approved Senate Bill 1084, making several changes related to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. And that bill banning the sale of lab-grown meat would make it a second-degree misdemeanor to sell or manufacture lab-grown meat in the state of Florida. Again, it would make it a second-degree misdemeanor to sell or manufacture lab-grown meat in the state of Florida. So again, that was passed by the Florida legislature last Friday. All right, that's a look at news headlines here today on the show. We are out of time. AOA brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. We're out of time. Thanks for listening to AOA. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53.